Well, I'm Scott Bennett. I'm a former United States Army officer. I worked at the State Department, coordinator for counterterrorism, U.S. Special Operations Command, U.S. Central Command, doing psychological warfare and counterterrorism threat finance operations. So I worked at Booz Allen Hamilton alongside Ed Snowden. I worked in the George Bush administration from 2003 to 2008. And I would say this story about the bombing of Russian satellites and Russian radar satellite technology, if you will, is par for the course that seems to be coming down from the United States, London, and Brussels to Ukraine to step up any radar or warning facilities that Russia has in preparation for a larger NATO expansion. NATO seems to be hell-bent and obsessed with trying to enlarge this conflict in order to secure its own political power over their respective populations.
Okay, so, well, look, your job in Special Operations Command, if I can just take you back to that for a second, there are allegations here in the UK, I'm not sure about the US, from some pretty senior members of Parliament that actually we've got quite a lot of boots on the ground. The British and NATO have got quite a lot of boots on the ground in Ukraine. I mean, your knowledge of Special Operations, these people do sort of operate outside democratic control largely. I wonder what you know and what you might speculate about whether NATO troops are in Ukraine helping the fight the Russians.
Well, without a doubt, NATO troops are there. I was in Donbass in 2023, and I was in Donetsk and Mariupol and Lugansk and Soledar. I saw the weapons that were being used against the Russian civilians. They were NATO weapons, Western weapons, Polish weapons, American weapons, British weapons. And the U.S. NATO forces, the French Foreign Legion forces and others are on the ground in Ukraine providing assistance, providing targeting. They are really the ones, although they'll never admit it, running the logistics and the satellite reconnaissance and the targeting information.
You can see, seeing the weapons is one thing. They could be being used by the Ukrainians. What evidence is there that there are NATO boots on the ground?
Well, the dead crosses from those who've been killed that the Russians have are pretty strong indicators. The admission of the French, of course. There's a lot of admissions and receipts of foreign military personnel in the vicinity. Sheep dipped, active. This is a clandestine war. This is a proxy war. And largely it's being done because the NATO countries realize they're facing inevitable revolution on their own in their own countries by their own people. So they have to trigger a war with Russia to try and create the circumstances for more authoritarian control over their own populations. So we will most likely see Britain, America, Canada, France engaging in more belligerency against Russia to try and provoke some counter-reaction by Russia.
Our British MP, Andrew Bridgen, he expires as an MP tomorrow from the Conservative Party. He's been talking to Andrei Kellin, who's the Russian ambassador to London. And he's convinced that Britain is already at war with Russia and that they just haven't told the people yet.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. And that's why they're afraid. They're afraid that if the people find out they're already at war, they will hang by the neck until dead, these British parliamentarians who have put them in that position. And the same applies to the United States and all these other countries that have never voted for war against Russia and have never, in fact, voted and been behind the provision of weapons and money to Ukraine. This has been the great manipulation and the great lie and the deception from these government bureaucrat elitists, whether it's Boris Johnson or Liz Truss or Rishi Sunak or Joe Biden or Macron or Olaf Scholz or Annalena Baerbock. They are all representing themselves. They are all being independently enriched and the people of their countries are the ones who are suffering. So they have to create a war very quickly to try and create the circumstances that would put the people in their country into more of an obedient posture, that their people would submit to the war agenda that they've been trying to cultivate. So,
well, you've worked in psychological operations. What is the role of the mass media? Because we're seeing massive differences in different parts of the world as to what is people are being told on their television screens, in their radio, and in the newspapers, Scott.
Well, the media has totally transformed over the last 10, 20 years into more of a government stenographer, a government reporting system. It is not independent scholars or researchers digging into issues or events or people or phenomenon in order to arrive at an interesting, truthful, revelatory position on a subject. That those days are gone. I think they've been gone since the 1970s. What we have instead is a stunted class of bloated, bureaucratic-minded regurgitators that simply regurgitate the strategic communications pamphlets and talking points and reports that come out of the CIA, MI6, MI5, the various intelligence agencies in the EU, NATO, American Alliance, the Five Eye Alliance. That's what the media has transformed into. That's why many have left the mainstream media, including people like Tucker Carlson, Judge Napolitano, Redacted, on and on and on. Many independent voices have left the mainstream media because they've been persecuted or they've been fired. So it's because the mainstream media has adopted a position of subservience to government and government money and the money behind the government people, that they've abandoned all of their independence and integrity. So there is no truth on the Western mainstream media. I would say the only places that you really do see examples of truth are on Press TV, RT, Sputnik, some of the more Russian channels. And that's been my experience as a commentator. I've never been told what to say or what to think. I've always spoken my mind, and it's never been edited.
But that's because you're tuned into saying the right things that they want you to say. Look, I am joking a little bit there, but yeah. I mean, there is an old story from Denmark with one of their main TV presenters back in the 1990s, who was one of the most famous presenters in Denmark. I won't even try and remember or pronounce his name, but on his last night in his job, he went on to the to present the news, and at the end of the bulletin, everybody knew he was leaving, and people were quite sad, and there was a little tribute to him. But he ended the bulletin by saying, "And that is what we decided to tell you tonight." And this sums up for me this idea that you don't know what you're not being told. And one thing we're not being told is that three of these nuclear ballistic missile early warning systems in Russia have been attacked by the Ukrainians, that this is really NATO is doing the targeting. And most likely it's NATO soldiers firing these weapons. There's certainly NATO weapons that are being used. So Russia in Moscow tonight, the foreign ministry there are, and the defense ministry, they're sitting there saying, well, which US or British or Norwegian early defense radar should we take out tomorrow? And people aren't even being told this is a potential escalation to World War III, Scott.
Well, I think what we are also seeing is that Russia has never wanted a war or a conflict since 2014. It has been pushed upon Russia by the NATO powers, who were using Ukraine as a bulwark, as a Trojan horse, if you will, to penetrate more deeply Russia and inevitably trigger a social political collapse and change of the guard. That's always been at the heart of these globalist mindsets, because Russia represents a nation of Christian values, and it is no longer communist or left-wing. It is, in fact, more of a conservative Christian nation resembling what was under the Tsar Nicholas time than any other time in history, and that makes them very hated. They don't embrace the LGBT transgender wokeness agenda, and as a result, they've won the majority of the world's nations to their side. They've won Africa, they've won the Middle East, they've won Asia, with China leading. The only nations that oppose Russia are the tantrum-like childish Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, the Baltic nations, and of course the French, German, British arrogant imperialists that think that, you know, society is still back in the 1700s. So all of this animosity towards Russia is translating into military kinetic activities, but that too is lost. Ukraine has lost the war. It doesn't have any more men. It doesn't have any more material. Zelensky is not the president anymore. His term has expired. He's a dead man walking. It's only a matter of time before he's killed, skinned alive, hung by the neck, and treated like Mussolini by his own people.
Hang on, he's not going to be. He's going to go and retire on a swanky yacht and a nice villa in Florida.
Yeah, I don't think they'll let him. I think he will find a very grisly end if the Russians... but again, the Russians have said it won't be them, it'll be the Ukrainians, and you could understand why when he's killed 500,000 of them needlessly. He's absolutely a disloyal person. It doesn't care about Ukraine. He cares about the United States giving him money.
And yeah, the next but let me drag you back, because we did have this whole situation... in 2022, in February, where the Russians were deliberately provoked into the war in the Donbass, to what they call the special military operation, invading Ukraine to defend the Donbass region. As the Ukrainian army was about to attack, the Russians moved in to protect those people. In a similar way, the Russians have a limited number of these ballistic missile defense radars, which are absolutely crucial in defending Russia from a ballistic missile nuclear attack by NATO. And so how many of these are going to be taken out before the Russians say, right, well, we're going to have to destroy Filingdales, or we're going to have to destroy one of the radar bases in the Western United States, Scott?
Well, that's where things are inching along in a way that Russia doesn't want it to happen. And the West is either suicidal and wanting it to happen, again, for the alternative political motive of creating the conditions that they can declare martial law and control their own people. So in one cynical sense, all of this belligerency displayed against Russia in a foreign policy circle, one could make the argument, is entirely designed to exercise social political control and collapse of their own country in the United States, in Britain, in France, in Germany, in Canada, in Australia. It seems completely out of any sense of historical logic when we come back to what the West is supposed to represent. But though that representation no longer exists, it's not 1970 or 1980 anymore. It is now 2024 with the woke, schizophrenic, overly COVID-19 vaccinated and boosted class of people living in the West that I think are the sickest, dumbest, most confused and schizophrenic people that have ever walked the earth. And Russia has a weakness in being able to fully understand the depth of depravity that exists in much of the West. And I've witnessed this for over 40, 50 years. So I do think Ukraine is going to continue this until their potential annihilation and removal of Zelensky. I do think they're going to set off a nuclear event at the Zaporizhzhia plant next. I think they're going to do that to try and create a excuse to pretend that Russia set it off. Russia, blew up the Zaporizhzhia, but I think it'll end up being similar to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline when the West, specifically the United States, blew up the Nord Stream pipeline that was going to Germany, effectively declaring war on Germany then again, Germany has no sense of pride. It's a vassal state, and Olaf Scholz committed treason against his own people by allowing that to happen. So we're witnessing a complete implosion of loyalty, common sense, and devotion to the people among these Western government nations.
Well, at least Scholz has said this week that that's enough. They're not going to be supporting Zelensky with any new types of weapons and that sort of thing. And he's getting rather worried because he realizes that that the Russians are starting to make overtures towards hitting NATO countries after it's becoming more obvious and that NATO is actually boasting about using them. But look, you talking there about this false flag event. What about a nuclear false flag, Scott? Is this feasible? There are certainly lots of these rogue nukes that may be lurking around, under a stone somewhere. Because back in the 1990s, the Russian army hadn't been paid, and one of our reporters, who was actually a New Zealander, Roger Cook, in 93, actually travelled to Russia. And he was offered weapons-grade plutonium, which they got tested in this film. If people would like to watch it, it's recently resurfaced after 30 years. Now back on YouTube, it's called Dirty Bomb, The Cook Report. And he's offered weapons-grade plutonium. They get it tested. They find it is indeed weapons-grade plutonium. And then he's actually offered by these same people. They say, well, why didn't you actually just buy a SS-20? Now, these are pretty powerful. They have three independent warheads. It's all a kind of computerized mobile ballistic missile launcher with hefty nuclear warheads on, three of them. And he was offered these for sale on the black market. Now, this is a central television journalist. I mean, you can imagine that there are intelligence services of nations around the world that would like to acquire a few nuclear weapons for their own peace of mind, maybe. I mean, it's almost impossible that these things were not going around on the black market if Cook can get hold of one. So maybe one of them might pop up at some point.
Well, it's certainly a possibility. I think we're witnessing that as days go by with an increased intrepidation. But, that ultimately can be tracked too. The remarkable ability of modern nations to track what kind of weapon it is, its entire origin and life cycle. So, it's a little bit difficult to set these things off and pretend. But again, we're in a full war against Russia, and I think it's a matter of time before Russia responds with a devastating strike that won't just be a punch in the nose to the West. It'll break both arms and both legs, and Russia will say, if you want to continue, you'll lose your life, because Russia does have superior hypersonic missile technology. It's the most skilled and battle-hardened army in the planet right now because of the 10 years of war it's gone through. And its people are entirely galvanized and supportive of its government. So Russia.
Yeah, but surely, Scott, this is exactly the sort of thing that the Western elites are trying to provoke a response.
Well, that's what I said. They're trying to provoke a response, not because they have any general interest in the success of their people or their countries, but they are trying to provoke a response because I think they fear their people in their countries. They fear, because of what you said earlier, that the people are going to discover all of this waste and all of this war that was done entirely without their knowledge or support or agreement. And that will spend political disaster for these politicians. And it could even translate into criminal acts when you consider the war crimes that are, for example, being done in Israel, that the United States has blood on its hands for, and the British could be the same in the same parcel. Well,
I'm certainly worried looking at this new government. Most likely Keir Starmer, stood behind him will be Alistair Campbell, the guy that sexed up the dodgy dossier for the Iraq war, and many say was one of those responsible for the death of Dr. David Kelly, the government scientist who died after saying that that the Iraq war legal advice was being, I think he said, sexed up. And then there's also Tony Blair, well-known war criminal Tony Blair, that launched the illegal invasion of Iraq, and Peter Mandelson behind them. So there is this same team. Does that worry you, Scott, that same team may be well, they will be almost certainly after this general election in the UK, running the show with Keir Starmer on the television as the man who does what he's told and reads his script?
Well, I'll say in closing, because I have to run to another meeting, but I'll say I'm more concerned and worried about the West, about Britain, about America, about France and Germany being completely out of their minds with delusion and misguided and unnatural hatred for Russia. I'm more concerned about that than I am about Russia. I have no fear or doubt that Russia... I have no fear whatsoever that Russia is going to, engage in hostilities against the West.
Okay, now I know you've got to run, Scott. Can you just let listeners know whereabouts they can find you and follow you online?
The website, shellgamewhistleblower.com. We also have another website, destroy-cancer.com. We have a lot of health supplements up there naturally. Contact us there. Always love to be with you, Tony.
Okay, Scott Bennett, thanks very much for joining us.